Raven had sailed with us. Blind though he was, and I was required to be his eyes, so I described how the East Anglian army was forming on a low ridge of dry land to the south of our camp.
"How many banners?"
he asked me. 23, I said, after a pause to count them.
"Showing?"
"Mostly crosses," I said, "and some saints."
"He's a very pious man, King Edmund," Raven said. "He even tried to persuade me to become a Christian."
He chuckled at the memory. We were sitting on the prow of one of the beached ships, Raven in a chair, Breeda and I at his feet, and the Mercian twins Cholnoth and Cholbert on his far side. They were the sons of Bishop Ethelbrid of Snottingham, and they were hostages even though their father had welcomed the Danish army. But as Raven said, taking the bishop's sons hostage would keep the man honest. There were dozens of other such hostages from Mercia and Northumbria, all sons of prominent men, and all under sentence of death if their fathers caused trouble. There were other Englishmen in the army, serving as soldiers, and if it were not for the language they spoke, they would have been indistinguishable from the Danes. Most of them were either outlaws or masterless men, but all were savage fighters, exactly the kind of men the English needed to face their enemy. But now those men were fighting for the Danes against King Edmund.
"And he's a fool," Raven said scornfully.
"A fool?" I asked.
"He gave us shelter during the winter, before we attacked Jofarik," Raven explained. "And we had to promise not to kill any of his churchmen," he laughed softly. "What a very silly condition. If their god was any use, then we couldn't have killed them anyway."
"Why did he give you shelter?"
"Because it was easier than fighting us," Raven said.
He was using English because the other three children did not understand Danish, though Breeda was learning quickly. She had a mind like a fox, quick and sly. Raven smiled.
"The silly King Edmund believed we would go away in the springtime and not come back, yet here we are."
"He shouldn't have done it," one of the twins put in. I could not tell them apart, but was annoyed by them, for they were fierce Mercian patriots, despite the father's change of allegiance. They were 10 years old and forever upbraiding me for loving the Danes.
"Of course he shouldn't have done it," Raven agreed mildly.
"He should have attacked you,"
Cholnoth, or Cholbert, said.
"He would have lost if he had," Raven said. "We made a camp, protected it with walls, and stayed there. And he paid us money to make no trouble."
"I saw King Edmund once," Breeda put in.
"Where was that child?" Raven asked.
"He came to the monastery to pray," she said. "And he farted when he knelt down."
"No doubt their god appreciated the tribute," Raven said loftily, frowning because the twins were now making farting noises.
"Were the Romans Christians?" I asked him, remembering my curiosity at the Roman farm.
"Not always," Raven said. "They had their own gods once, but they gave them up to become Christians. And after that, they knew nothing but defeat." "Where are our men?"
"Still in the marsh," I said. Ubba had hoped to stay in the camp and so force Edmund's army to attack along the narrow neck of land and die on our short earthen wall. But instead, the English had remained south of the treacherous lowland and were inviting us to attack them. Ubba was tempted. He had made Storri cast the rune sticks, and rumour said that the result was uncertain, and that fed Ubba's caution. He was a fearsome fighter, but always wary when it came to picking a fight. But the runesticks had not predicted disaster, and so he had taken the army out into the marsh, where it now stood on whatever patches of drier land it could find, and from where two tracks led up to the lower ridge.